we're staying, please turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter, and we'll get there eventually. I hope that I have your permission to preach God's Word this morning and without any fault or time limit, because I'm going to take it anyway. Amen? Everybody awake? Everybody attentive? Everybody looking forward to hearing what God has for you this morning? Amen? Good. Last week, as we continued in the series that I started some weeks ago, called Back to the Basics, we remembered that God always gives us a way out of issues that are taking place around us and things we've gotten ourselves into. And we get ourselves into a lot of messes, amen? We really do, and God has always given us a way out. We remembered how God constantly called the Hebrew children back to Himself throughout the Old New Testament. How God sent prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet to warn His chosen people of the coming judgment, and they would not listen. We remembered that when Jesus came, that God was giving man yet another way out of suffering. And He did not stop there. He gave each person who accepted Christ as their personal Savior His Spirit to guide and direct all throughout life. That very same Spirit roams the earth, convincing man and calling man back to Himself. This Spirit is the Holy Spirit of God. Today, as we continue in our series, I want to address a very serious question that most Christians have asked. I would dare say that you've asked this same question, myself included. The question that begs, church, it begs to be asked, is the title of this morning's sermon. Here it is. What is God waiting for? What is God waiting for? Or you can replace it, what is God waiting on? Church, why does Jesus not come for His church right now? What in the world is He waiting on? This is one of those sermons, and I've got to tell you, Miss Desi's going to be, she's going to be upset, because you get the Scripture at the end. You don't get the Scripture at the beginning. I'm not going to give you any Scripture to chew on as we go through this message. You're going to get the Scripture at the end. You're going to get a little bit of Scripture in the middle, but the end of the sermon is where you're going to get the Scripture. The Scripture is going to be the applying force this morning. It's going to be the glue that answers this question, because this is a question that all of us ask. Why is the Messiah not coming for His church? Why is He not coming for His bride? He said He's going to, and we believe that He's coming, amen? What in the world is keeping Him from coming? Let's pray. Father, we come to You again asking forgiveness of our sins and where we fail You. Lord, we fail You every single day. But God, You keep reaching out to us, and we don't deserve it. You keep allowing us to come back to You, to stand in Your presence, and we don't deserve it. God, Your Spirit calls out to us and warns us, and yet we throw up our hand to You. But You're always right behind us to receive us when we come back to You. And Lord, we don't understand it. There's so many things that we don't understand in our lives, Lord. But You readily reveal everything through Your Word. Help us, God, this morning to be attentive. Wake us and shake us. Help us, God, to hear a word from You. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Now, as I ask this question, what is God waiting on? What is He waiting on? What does Scripture have to say? What do we know from Scripture? Well, church, we know that we, the body, is to be watching and waiting. We are to be looking with great anticipation for the Lord to return. We are not to get slack or lazy and thinking that it couldn't be today that He comes. Listen, it could be right now. 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 It could be right now that Jesus comes. It could be right now that Jesus comes. I could do this all day. It could be right now. Scripture tells us that we are to be watching and to be waiting. And we fill our lives with so much junk and so much so much clutter that we forget that we're to be doing what the main thing that he's told us to do, and that's to be watching and to be waiting. Well, why are we to be watching and to be waiting? For great anticipation. We ought, first of all, because he told us to. I mentioned that last week. But we ought to be filled with such anticipation that our Lord's returning. Brother Kyle, can you give me an illustration? Years ago, I went to Nicaragua. I was going to Nicaragua for 9 days on a mission trip, an Awana mission trip. And it was probably the hardest time that I've ever had. Now, we didn't have computers back then. Internet was very, very young when I went to Nicaragua. And cell phones, they were there. But, I mean, as far as connecting from Central America to America, I mean, you were lucky to have heat and air conditioning down there. They had a Widowmaker on the shower. Have y'all ever been to Central America? It's this little device, and it sits on top of the shower head, and you turn the device on to have hot water. And it wasn't that hot. And the reason they call it a Widowmaker is because it had electricity that went through it that warmed it as it was coming out of the top of the head. I didn't touch that thing, y'all. You know why they call it the Widowmaker, don't you? Electricity and water do not mix. They don't mix at all. I was an electrical lineman for about 10 years. I know that water, it doesn't work. But listen, as day two and day three went by, I didn't talk to Amy, didn't see Amy, didn't hold her hand, didn't get a kiss, didn't get a hug, nothing. Day four and five, it was tough. And this is when I tried to, call home, and it didn't work. I remember calling, and I could hear her answer, but she couldn't hear me. And I just listened to her say hello four or five times, and I had to hang up because she couldn't hear me. Day six and seven was horrible. Day eight and nine was absolutely atrocious. Finally got to the airport, and here I am. I'm ready to get home, ready to see my wife, kind of ready to see the children, want to see the children. But I'm within great anticipation. I get on the airplane, and there's a child kicking my seat, and the parents are sitting right behind them. And I'm about to kill the kid. I'm ready to get home. I don't know how people in the service did it. I was just away from my wife for 9 days, and it drove me crazy. What are you saying? I was anticipating the home going. I could not wait to see my wife, to hold her hand, to hold her. That's the way we ought to anticipate the return of Christ. But we're not. Some of us aren't even looking for him. There's not a great anticipation. It's just not there. We know that we are to be watching and waiting, but we're not. Listen, something else Scripture says. We know that Scripture tells us of things that will be happening in the last days that we should be aware of. And when these things take place, we should use them as a tool to witness to the lost world. Every time we see something that shouldn't be, that prophecy points to, we ought to use it as a stepping stone to witness to the lost world. Yep, that's happened. Yep, that's happened. Listen, you need to be ready. You need to be aware. You need to be waiting. But church, listen, we know that when Jesus himself told us to watch the nation of Israel, he told us to watch the fig tree. Watch the fig tree. Watch the fig tree. I listened to some news this past week. Do you realize that people were scoffed at, authors, people, Christians, writers wrote prior to Israel becoming a nation May 14th, 1948. Listen, that they were scoffed at because they were pointing to that scripture from Isaiah saying that the nation of Israel would become a nation again. It just wasn't going to happen. And when it happened, they were still scoffed, saying it's never going to last. It's never going to last. Well, here it is, lasted over 50 years. Jesus told us to watch the fig tree, to watch the nation of Israel, to know that his time was soon coming. Now, we know when Jesus does return for his bride, the church, it's going to be a wonderful reunion for us. But it's also going to start the worst 7 years this world has ever or will ever see. Listen to me, there is no way that any person can prepare themselves for what's coming. There's no way. You can try all you want. You can store food. You can pack matches. You can put matches in your wallet. You can put them in a plastic bag so you can start. There is no way to prepare for what's coming during the 7 years tribulation. There's no way. There's absolutely No way. Scripture tells us that the world will be like the days of Noah and the days of Sodom when Jesus comes. My question is, how much worse are things going to have to be before they are like the days of Noah and the days of Sodom? Billy Graham, the greatest Southern Baptist evangelist and preacher that ever lived, once said that if God does not soon judge America for her sin, he will have to stand off his throne and apologize for what he did to Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen to me. I don't think God's going to be apologizing for anything. So if God's not going to be apologizing for anything, I see a soon coming judgment for our beloved America. A soon coming judgment. Listen to me. You think the God of heaven will judge his own people, the Hebrew children who were sent into Assyrian and Babylonian captivity, but he won't judge little America? Something's wrong with you. Well, America didn't have, you know, Israel didn't have the armies that God, that America has. Are you not reading the same Old Testament that I am? We're talking about Israel who stood against the Philistines. They were outnumbered 3-1, and they never lifted a sword, and God destroyed them all. But yet his people turned their back on God, and God says, listen, I'm warning you, come back to me, come back to me, come back to me. And they worship pagan gods that they served in the land of Egypt more than they did God. And God says, listen, I'm warning you one last time, you come back to me or you're going to captivity. And they didn't believe it. And what happened? They went into Assyrian and Babylonian captivity. America's in captivity, and we don't even know it. We're captivated by our sin, ourself, and in the world. And we don't even see it. Church, listen. We have all the Scripture. We have all the Scripture telling us that Jesus is coming. We have all the prophecy telling us that Jesus is coming. We can look at all of the indicators in Scripture that Jesus told us to watch for and see that it cannot be much longer before His return. So my question, the question that begs to be answered is this: what is keeping God? What's taking Him so long? Why is He not coming? You ever asked that question? Well, let me share with you where I am on this topic. I'm just going to open up and completely tell you where I am on this topic. As a pastor, I'm more burdened than I've ever been in my ministerial life. I feel like I'm seeing the falling away from the church right before my eyes, and there's absolutely nothing I can do about it. I feel like Jeremiah the prophet, who has a word from God to a people who desperately need to hear from God. But my words as Jeremiah's are falling on deaf ears that do not want to hear what God has to say. That's where I am, Brother Bill. That's what I feel. I'm seeing youth who are vibrant in the church, who stand and know the gospel of Jesus Christ, who walk out on God when they go to college, and they never return to God. They do things they shouldn't do, go places they shouldn't go, and just it blows my mind. I see adults who were once faithful to the Word of God and faithful to the church of God, they turn their, you might not see them for months. I don't understand that I, with my eyes, am seeing the falling away that 1 Thessalonians talks about. People know very little about the Word of God, but yet they think they know it all. They don't spend time in the Word of God. Listen, as I stated last week, some of y'all, I bet there's somebody in here who doesn't even know where your Bible is. You don't know what the last page of the Bible that you read. You don't know the last book that you read. The Holy Spirit hasn't convicted you to read anything because you are so far away from God. That's where I am. That's where I am this morning. Listen, everywhere I go, when I see large crowds of people, I watch as they live in and for the world and come to the terrible understanding that many of these people will remain on the earth after the rapture of the church takes place. And just by looking at them, I can tell you they are not going to make it through the first few months of what's going to take place in the book of Revelation. Listen with me just real quick. Look at Revelation chapter 6. Look at verse 1. Look at verse 12. Chapter 6, verse 12. Then I saw him, being the Lamb, the Messiah. I saw him open the sixth seal. This is the first of the judgments. We still have the trumpets and the vials. We don't even know what the thunders are. This is the first. This is the very beginning. This is the last judgment of the first set of judgments. Listen to what it says in chapter 6, verse 1. Then I saw him open the sixth seal. A violent earthquake occurred. The sun turned black as sackcloth, like goat hair. Then the entire moon became like blood. The stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig drops its unripe figs when shaken by high wind. The sky separated like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the nobles, the military commanders, the rich, the powerful, and every slave and every free person hid in caves among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of the one seated on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb, because the great day of their wrath has come. And who is able to stand?" Churches, I see these people walking around, and I look at them, how they hunger and thirst after things of the world, and I know after Jesus raptures the church, listen, they're not going to make it 6 months. They can't do it. They rely on this earth, and they don't rely on each other anymore. Listen, I said this when we preached through the book of Revelation. There's very few people who know how to plant a seed anymore. Well, if I'm hungry, I'll just go to the grocery store. There ain't going to be no more grocery store. Well, if I'm hungry, I'll just go fishing. You think you're the only person who's going to be thinking of that? Well, if I'm hungry, I'm going to eat grass. You try to eat grass and see how your digestive system handles that. Well, I'll eat leaves. Yeah, let's see how you handle that. You're not going to make it. Unless you accept Christ as your personal Savior, if He raptures the church, you are going to suffer, and you're going to suffer like this world has never seen before. Well, Brother Kyle, I don't believe that. Well, you don't believe the Word of God. This isn't my opinion. And my heart just breaks as I see the people walking through this earth, living for the earth and living for the world. I've told you, I went on vacation this past summer and I stood at the rails of the ship and I looked out over the vastness of the ocean. I gazed at the beauty and marveled at what God had created and quickly realized what the book of Revelation said, that same water, that very same beautiful blue water would be like during the 7 years tribulation, how that water would be turned to blood, that all life in the ocean would die, and how the vast majority of the ships would be destroyed through the plagues that were to come. And you think you're going to make it? You think you're going to make it? Listen, let me be frank as I possibly can, and I've said this before. For those of you who heard it, I guess you need to hear it again. If you've heard, and I don't care who you are, if you've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you've heard the gospel message and you do not accept Him as your personal Savior, when the rapture takes place, and I don't know when it's going to be, Gary, I'm going to say that again here in a minute. I don't know when exactly it's going to be, but if you do not accept Christ as your personal Savior after you've heard the gospel, there's only one thing you're going to do during the 7 year tribulation. You are going to suffer and you are going to bow down to the Antichrist and you're going to worship Him as your Messiah. Brother Kyle, I just don't believe that. Well, you don't believe what the Scripture says. I'm not making it up. That's what the Word of God says. Well, won't I have a chance to accept Christ as my personal Savior during the seven-year tribulation if I'm not raptured with the church? No. No, you will not. Not if you've heard the gospel today and you reject the gospel today. God's serious about this. Listen, He sent His Son. His Son bled and died and was rejected by man. We killed Him. We all killed Him. My sins put Him on that cross. And if you reject Him today, don't think that you're going to be able to accept Him tomorrow. It's not going to happen. Church, I listen to the news and I watch it on TV. And I hear of wars and threats of wars almost every single day. Each country has their own agenda, and the level of tolerance they have for one another is all but nil. Do you realize that we are almost at war with several countries? Almost. And it's only going to take one crazy person with their finger on the button. It's only going to take one crazy person with a gun to start an unbelievable war. And we hear about it every single day. But we're being conditioned on a daily basis to accept things that are going to take place in tribulation. So we're just like, oh, another dictator's gone crazy. Church, I see people being murdered at the drop of a hat for no real reason. I see people killing police officers just because they are the police. I hear of parents killing their children and children killing their parents. And then Hollywood glamorizes all this murder by making a movie about it and putting it on television. There's one coming out this week. Don't watch it. Don't watch it. I see reports of the numbers of babies that have been aborted, killed, murdered in their mother's womb since the notorious Roe versus Wade trial in 1973. The count so far is close to, if it hasn't already exceeded, 60 million children. 60 million children that have been killed for the sake of convenience. Church, we look at the Holocaust and we see the pictures. And it's terrible. We grieve and we build monuments for the Holocaust, and we should. We remember that we not forget. But we're not even looking. We're not even looking. 60 million children have been ripped from their mother's womb. 60 million. We're not crying. We're not grieving. You touch a spotted owl or you touch an eagle egg and you're going to jail. But you can rip a baby from a mother's womb, and it's perfectly legal in America on a daily basis. Church, I see preachers watering down the message of the gospel. I hear of churches accepting things and their church that Scripture says it not ought to be. This past week, and I haven't even told Amy this, I got a call from a lady that we're very familiar with, and she says, Pastor, I'm really burdened. I've got to ask you a question. I know you're not my pastor, but can I ask you a scriptural question? I don't know what to do. And I said, sure. She said, I'm going to this church in Virginia. It's a very large church. And there's a lady who is teaching in the children's department who is a professed lesbian. She said, the pastor is a very conservative pastor. She said, I don't think he knows. Should I tell him? And I said, absolutely. She said, would you want to know? I said, absolutely. You need to know. Pastor needs to know. Church, I see people who call themselves Christians calling right wrong and wrong right. Listen to me. Listen to me. You who call yourself a Christian, God could care less about what your opinions are. You either stand with the Word of God or and exactly what the Word of God says, or you keep your mouth shut. God doesn't care what your opinions are. This world does not need to hear the opinions of any more people who have turned their backs on God and their face towards this world. This world needs to hear what the Word of God has to say and nothing more. Let me tell you where I am right now. Told you where I've been. Let me tell you where I am right now. Now, what I'm about to tell you is the truth and nothing but the truth. I'm going to tell it exactly how it happened, and you can either believe what I'm telling you or you don't have to. It's purely up to you. Past 2 weeks, I don't know why the Holy Spirit has just been on me about the lost condition of this world. I've been praying for God to just break my heart over the lost the way we ought to be. When was the last time you cried over a lost person? And I guess that's what he's doing. Amy and I went down to City Market last weekend, and we sat on a bench. Just love to people watch. There's some crazy people down there, y'all. They don't care. And as we watched, we sat there in City Market, and we watched several people who were, they were in these, I guess the brides were coming down for, what do they call them? The bride party? Bachelorette party. And the bride was wearing a sash and a little crown and, you know, the thing that flows on their, you know, the whatever you call it, veil. And the bridesmaids were wearing these sashes that said, I'm a bridesmaid. And they were walking through, y'all look up here, it's okay. They were walking through City Market just, you know, living it up. And one of them stopped right in front of us. And as I watched them, there was one of the people who were bridesmaids trying to take a picture of all of them. And I said, can I take a picture for you? And as I grabbed the camera, I took the picture, and I sat back down. Amy looked at me, and she said, did you realize that one of the bridesmaids was a guy? And I said, do what? And she said, yeah, that guy is a bridesmaid. And I sat there, and listen, I just watched the people as they walked by. Y'all ought to do that sometime. Look at the people. Look at the people who God called you to be a witness to. This isn't my city. I wasn't born here. You were. God called you to be a witness to these people. And we sit behind our four walls at the house watching TV and listening to the radio, and we're silent. Look at these people in the eye. Look how far they are from God. As I sat upstairs this past week, and I thought about all that I'd seen, thought about this scripture, and tears rolled down my face, and I cried out to God. Brother Frank, I said, what? What are you waiting on? How much worse does it have to be? How many more lives are going to have to be lost? How many more people are we going to have to be involved in war with? How many little girls are going to be put into prostitution by their own parents to get by? How much worse is it going to have to get? God, when are you going to come? What are you waiting on? No more scripture has to take place. No more prophecy has to be fulfilled. What in the world, God, are you waiting on? It's a good question, isn't it? Now, I told you, listen to me. I told you, you can believe me what I'm about to say to you, or you don't. It's up to you. It doesn't matter to me. I know it's the truth, Ricky Tyre. As those words fell off my lips, and Amy was downstairs asleep, my phone went ding. I got a notification. I got a notification that I either had an email, somebody was sending me a text, or you know, something was going on. But it wasn't any of that. You see, I have on my phone, my telephone, a Bible app. Y'all probably have one too. And this Bible app has daily scripture readings. And every day, I guess right around midnight or a little after, I get a ding with a new scripture for that day. Now remember, Miss Dale, Mr. Phil, I had just gotten out of my words. God, why? What is taking you so long? What is it? Why are you waiting? Ding. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter. Or 2 Peter. I'm going to read to you the scripture that was on my app. We're going to go back just a little bit further. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Dear friends, don't let this one thing escape you. With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord does not delay His promise, as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Did y'all get that? God, why aren't you coming? How much more devastation has to take place? How much worse is it going to get before it's like the time of Noah and the time of Sodom and Gomorrah? Listen, you sassy little preacher. Listen. The Lord does not delay His promise. He's promised that He's coming, and He's saying, listen, I'm not delaying My promise, as some understand delay, but, listen, but, is patient with you. Aren't you glad somebody's patient with you? He says this, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. On that day, the heavens will pass away in the loud with a loud noise. The elements will burn and be dissolved, and the earth and the works on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, it is clear what sort of people you should be and holy conduct yourself in godliness as you wait for and earnestly desire the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be on fire and be dissolved, and elements will melt with all the heat. But based on His promise, we wait for the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness will dwell. Church, why isn't God coming? Why isn't He sending His Son back to rapture the church? Because He wants all to come to repentance. He wants all to come to repentance. All of us to come to repentance. Let me ask in conclusion, listen. Are you watching and waiting with great anticipation? Are you watching and waiting? Listen, are you ready for the Lord's return? Listen, are you even burdened for the nearly 7 billion people who are estimated to be lost on this earth? Are you even burdened for them? Does your heart not ache for them? Listen, have you told every person that you know that Jesus changed your life? And listen, Jesus wants to change your life too. Have you told them? Listen, I have no idea of the exact day or time when Jesus is coming back. But I do know this without any doubt. We are one day closer to His coming. We are one day closer to the 7 years of tribulation. Are you ready? Are you ready? Do you know my Jesus? I was a liar, a chief, and a thief. I was a drunk and a whoremonger. And I cried out to God. I didn't call out to Jesus. I called out to God. And Jesus revealed Himself through her to me. I never went to church, but Jesus found me. I wasn't looking, and He found me. Do you know my Jesus? Do you know that He wants to change your life the way He changed my life? He can, if you'll allow Him to. Church, Jesus has paid and done His part. Will you do yours? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. This morning, if you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I'm going to be standing down here at the front. Why wait another day? I'll show you what the Word of God says that each person must do to have eternal life. Will you come? If you're here this morning and you've just pushed God away and you know it's time to come home, this altar's open for you. Come home this morning. Come home. Lord, we love You and we praise You. And we pray that Your Spirit would continue to move during this invitation. That You would bring Your people back to You. Lord, that you would draw those who don't know you as their personal Savior to their knees before you. Scripture says, every knee shall bow and every mouth shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Lord, we can do it while we're on this earth, or we can do it when we stand before you, but we will bow before you. Let today be the day that every knee in this congregation bows before you. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, this invitation is for you. Do you need to come?